Today we're going to be looking at God's special providence towards His people. This is our fourth message in the series on the providence of God. And the main verse we'll be looking at will be verse 16 of Psalm 139. And when I mentioned the idea of God's special providence, you could say it in other words, God's gracious providence towards His people. And what we'll be learning about is how intimately God is involved with the everyday moments of our lives. It's my hope that all of us here will grow in a greater biblical realization of the constant, moment-by-moment, love, care, and oversight of our God in our lives. Day by day, moment by moment, a greater realization by faith in our God through His revelation. And that's a wonderful thing. If we realize His presence more and more, we will honor Him. We will be growing in the fear of the Lord, obedience to Him. And so let's turn our attention to Psalm 139. I'm going to read the whole psalm, and then we're going to focus on verse 16. Psalm 139 is a wonderful psalm to help us learn more about God's gracious providence. So in verse 1 and following of Psalm 139, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. And then here's our focus for today, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, even when I was an embryo in my mother's womb, is the idea. In Your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they would be more than the sand. I awake and I am still with You. Oh, that You would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against You with malicious intent. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, I need You to try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Our focus for worship is in verse 16, where we're going to learn in more detail about God's special or gracious providence toward His people. The idea of toward His people, verse 16, where it talks about our days fashioned, planned by God, and written in God's book, even before there was one of them. It's in the context here of David, the psalmist, who was in a relationship with God. I read a moment ago in verse 1, where he said, the Lord search me. And then it also says, Lord, you have known me. To know David in that way is a saving knowledge of David. And so it has to do with God's providence, his work in his life in intimate, detailed ways, including all the days of his life already planned out. So the idea of gracious or special providence, that is toward only those that God savingly knows. That's his people. So let's look back at verse 16. We're going to slow down and seek to dig deep here this morning in realizing more about God's plan and purposes for our lives. Look at verse 16 again. Your eye saw my unformed substance. In your book, that's a figure of speech that compares the mind of God and the plan of God to a book. In your book, in your plan, in your heart, in your mind, were written every one of them. Every one of what? The days that were formed. Every one of them. Every day of my life, written in your book, the days that were formed for me. The word here, formed, means fashioned, as a potter fashions or forms his clay. Other words that help us understand the meaning of the word form, not only fashion, but the days that were ordained, the days that were predestined, the days that were planned. Other translations of this verse and other modern translations help us with the understanding of it. It's the idea, the NIV states it like this, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The NLT version says this, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. The HCSB translation puts it like this, all my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Notice how personal this is, the days that were formed for me. God's special, gracious, particular providence in the life of one of his people, even here, the psalmist David. It's very personal, very specific. And the providence of God, as we've learned, involves God's oversight. The word providence, which is a theological term, is the idea of God overseeing. It's a broad theological term, as we've seen in the last 3 weeks. It has to do with God overseeing his creation and everything within his creation in two major ideas. God sustaining everything, upholding everything, and then also governing everything. His sustaining power and work and his governing work over all things. That's the providence of God. That theological word providence, his oversight in sustaining and governing everything that comes to pass. The providence of God is him carrying out, governing, and sustaining what he planned from eternity past. God has an eternal plan, a decree. His providence is him sustaining and carrying out his purposes within his creation. Over everything, and today we're looking at his special, particular providence, oversight of his people. And this is where we learn about that in many places, but this is where we're digging in today. So the idea in verse 16 is this. God has ordained or planned out all the days of our lives. Every one of them. He wrote them in his book, a figure of speech related to his mind, his plan, before a single one of them began. You know, in our families, whenever we have children, when a wife becomes pregnant, the parents begin to plan. It's always an exciting time, especially when that first child, a wife is pregnant with the first child, and then the others, there's planning that goes in. Planning and getting the room ready, books and toys and clothes in schedules, in many other things. Other people, friends, come around and give showers, all these plans. But our loving, gracious Father, His plans go so much deeper, so much further. And so parents do what they can to plan out, and so things will go well. But they're limited. They don't know what the future holds. They don't know. Some babies don't make it out of the womb. Some do. And we do what we can for oversight and care all of their days. But God's is so much deeper. God has planned all of the days of His children with a detailed, particular, gracious oversight. And so this is what we're learning about this morning. Our lives are the objects of God's eternal love and care. So think with me this morning as we're going to be digging in more to verse 16 about our day's plan. But let's go back in time and think about before we ever lived a day and where we were in the mind of God. Okay, right now we're living life. We find ourselves in this worship service today, worshiping and praising God, digging into His Word, wanting to learn more about His ways, His heart, that we may honor and glorify Him, that our lives may be filled with Him and His truth. But you know what this is the fruit of? An eternal plan or purpose. Before we were ever born, the Bible says in relationship to Jeremiah, that's true of all of God's people, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And so before Jeremiah, one of God's prophets and one of His people, before he was in his mother's womb, the Lord already knew him in saving love and purpose. In Romans 8:29, related to all of God's people, it mentions whom God foreknew. So this concept of Jeremiah being revealed to him by God, that before he was in his mother's womb, the Lord knew him. And then related to all of God's people, for whom God foreknew, who he knew beforehand in eternity past. And so before we were ever born, before we were conceived, and even before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, God chose His people. He foreknew them and set them apart. The Apostle Paul mentions in Galatians 1:15, God, He who had set me apart before I was born. And so God's special, particular grace to His people doesn't begin in our lives. It begins in the heart and mind of God in ages past, even in eternity, in God setting His saving love upon us, foreknowing us before we were in the womb, even knowing us from all eternity with an everlasting covenant love. And then you know what happens? It shows up in time. In God's plan and purpose, in His sovereignty over all of life, in the course of history, our very conception and birth is in God's hand. He already has foreknown us, set us apart, knew us before we were in our mother's womb. But look back at Psalm 139 as I read. Look at verses 13 through 16a. Our conception, and then which leads to our birth. Look at verse 13, Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You created my inward parts. It's the idea, you created my inmost being. Our very being has been created by God. God had made him. God made us. The innermost recesses of our very being has been constituted as they are by God. He knows us, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6, as we also read earlier. Think of that. Not only our physical bodies, but our souls, our inward parts, our inmost being. A baby in the womb at conception is an individual with a soul, with all the individuality that God gives them, grants them. And so this is the particular creative work of God to all people, and then to those that are redeemed, there is a special gracious providence, but he's the Lord over everyone's conception and even their birth. Look at verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully suited to produce reverence. And wonderfully made with distinction. Wonderful are your works. Wonderful, that which excites wonder and admiration. My soul knows it very well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, which is just an allusion to a mother's womb, at this time a place of secret. Your eyes saw with oversight and care my unformed substance, is the idea, those words, unformed substance, even when I was an embryo in the womb. And so God's particular plan and grace to his people has to do with how he knew us before time, set us apart in saving love, is the idea, I knew you, I foreknew you. The very timing, the very moments of our conception, God saw my unformed substance. He's the one who intricately knitted us together in our mother's womb. He is the one that actually gave us our very being, our inmost being, constituted as we are by God. How is it that God knows us and surrounds us in Psalm 139? He created us, our very being. And for his people, he redeems us and brings us into this reconciled relationship. So before we were born, our conception and birth, and now let's begin to focus in on verse 16, not only our conception that leads to our birth, but then we see in verse 16, our main verse today, all the days of our lives, every one of them were written, Lord, in your book when as yet there was none of them. The special gracious providence of God towards his people is related to this because his gracious providence is the carrying out of these days that God has already fashioned, ordained, as a potter does the clay. So the days are already fashioned in the sense they're already planned, they're already ordained before there was one of them. That points back into eternity, God planning out our days, our moments. His providence is his oversight of that plan, the carrying out, our conception, our birth, in every day of our lives, even before we're converted. O house of Israel, Jeremiah 18:6, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. And so something important to keep in mind with this word here, formed, it's God as the potter, who is also our Father, who loves us, has fashioned, planned, ordained, formed every single day we would ever live in this life. Already planned out. Now that's not a fatalistic perspective. That doesn't mean we're robots. God has planned in the days that he's ordained for us, as he is the God who created us in his image. He's given us a mind and a will and emotions and affections and all this to be used. There's mystery in the sovereign, gracious providence of God. We're not robots. We are responsible beings created by God. And God has planned within our days dynamic interaction with him, where we're responsible to live toward him in his wisdom and in his will. And so every person is responsible. So this is not a fatalistic view, but it has to do with God over all, God planning, God carrying out His plans. And in Psalm 139, one of the key things that happens, it inspires worship. This knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. It lays us low in worship. That yes, there's mystery in this. But all our days are planned. Conception, birth, all of our days. And as we'll see later, even our day of death. God planning our days involves the very moment not only we would be conceived and born, but also when we would be converted. The Apostle Paul speaks of his conversion, of coming to Christ in Galatians 1:16. But when He, God, was pleased to reveal His Son in me, Paul's conversion, our conversion, you know when it took place? It took place when it pleased God. The sovereign good pleasure of God, when it pleased God. And you know what conversion and salvation involves? It involves God revealing His Son in our hearts. At the very center of God's special providence involved the sending of His Son to save His people. Christ has accomplished an objective work outside of us, independent of us, in His life, His death, in His resurrection. And God sent the Spirit to make Him known. And so when it pleased God, God revealed His Son in us. Being a Christian is the fruit of God's revelation, taking the things of the gospel, the things of Christ, opening the mind and the heart of a person, raising them out of a grave of spiritual death, uniting us to Christ, and in that union, God reveals that Christ is our all. There is forgiveness, there is grace. He is everything we need, and we're led when God touches our hearts, that quickening ray that comes and penetrates that region of death that we're in separation from God. God makes Christ known to the heart, and we believe, we repent, we rest our all in Him, and we're made alive, and now we live and move and have our being in the Son of God. That's at the very center of His providential plan. And what we become, according to Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. On the one hand, He knit us together in our mother's womb, intricately woven in our mother's womb. He created our very being. And then there is also a new creation, the workmanship of God, creating us in Jesus Christ. And this is a creation, a workmanship, a new creation for good works. And then listen to the phrase at the end of Ephesians 2:10, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has planned out our walk, our lives, in the good works, in the will of God that have already been ordained or planned beforehand. Ephesians 2:10. That overlaps with all of our days planned. The good works, the life, in the will of God, already prepared beforehand that we are to walk in. Days, moments, planned out. I read an illustration that is helpful in this. In 1937, Walt Disney released the first full-length animated movie. I wonder if any of you know what it is or was. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Producing an animated movie was a ginormous task at that time. And listen to this. Disney artists had to draw over 1 million pictures. Each picture flashed onto the screen for a mere 1/24th of a second. Now, as you watch the movie run at regular speed, it seems kind of simple, just watching it. But those that just watch it had no idea all the details and over 1 million pictures that went into it to make it run at regular speed. Our lives are similar to that movie. God puts infinite thought, infinite skill, careful attention into every single detail and moment of our lives. And yet as our lives run at regular speed, we're just living life, we have no idea how much of God's providence, details of His work and working out His purposes fill every single second and moment of our lives. We're living lives. And you know what today is about? To slow down and think as deeply and carefully as we can about God's providential work. As we live life, we can forget, we cannot be thinking about how much God is involved moment by moment, day by day, in the intricate details, infinite thought, infinite wisdom, eternal love that fill up the moments of our lives. And if we live not realizing that, we can go on and not be living in gratitude and lowliness and dependence about how God is the one who engineers and orchestrates and is actively involved in everything that comes to pass in our lives, like those over a million pictures they had to draw. But when you watch it, you're not necessarily aware of that. And right now where we find ourselves, there are millions of things God is doing all around us in relationship circumstances, working for our good, working for the fame of His name. Again, we have no idea how much God's providence fills every single moment. Doing what? Overseeing, sustaining us, loving us, caring for us, directing us, shepherding us, orchestrating every aspect and detail of our lives. And that's why in Psalm 139, when you continue there after verse 16, in verse 17 and 18, it says this: "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast are the sum of your thoughts!" How vast is the sum of God's thoughts? Have you ever tried to go count the sand at the sea or at the ocean? That's how vast the thoughts of God are. And the thoughts and the workings and the windings of God toward His people. How vast are the sum? How precious are your thoughts to me? If I would count them, they are more than the sand. But when I awake, I am still with you. This work of God, His providential oversight and care, it has to do, I'm with Him. I live in His presence. I live and move and have my being in this God who loves me and cares for me and oversees everything about my life. So the providence of God is not a cold, theoretical teaching for a seminary classroom. Yes, it better be in the seminary classroom, but it's also for all of God's people to press in and know more about the daily, moment-by-moment love and care of God in every single aspect and sphere of our lives. It's a wonderful teaching. There's nothing more comforting. There's nothing greater to rest your heart in every day of our lives. Nothing. The greatness of God, the detailed, extensive work of God. And as we slow down and think about it, it's healthy. It's edifying. Like that movie, Over a Million Pictures. And to go as deep as you can about life. Philpott said, "When a man sees the providence of God stamped on every action of life," you know what it does? It casts a glory, a beauty, and a sweetness over every day of his life. Did you get that? You see the hand of God in his providential oversight stamped on all of life. It casts a glory, a beauty, and a sweetness over every day of his life. How personal is this special providence? The beginning of Psalm 139. "You've searched me and known me." You know, when I sit down and when I rise up, when you go home this afternoon and you, when you sit down in just the casual moments of life, the eternal watcher, overseeing, governing, sustaining, He's there. How personal is this gracious oversight and providence? You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down when we put our heads on our pillows tonight, when we tire after the end of the day. He not only saw our unformed substance as an embryo, He's present. He sees, watching, caring, overseeing. That's so personal. Remember in verse 16, that were written in your book, every one of them, the days formed for me. Personal, special providence. Even when there was not one of them, but when you live it out and you search my path and are acquainted with all of my ways. How detailed is it? Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Where does worship come in? Verse 6. Such knowledge, this is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Laid low. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? Go to heaven, you're there. Make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Even there, your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall uphold me. In the darkness, that darkness is not dark to you. You're the light. In other words, Psalm 31:15, my times, my days, my moments are in your hand. No, this is not theoretical, just theoretical. We need to exercise our minds in loving God and going as deep as we can to understand these things and therefore understand more of God and His work. Rather, this teaching is warm and transforming. At the end of this psalm, how's it transforming? Search me, O God. If you're this kind of God that you know my thoughts, you know me, you search me, you're there and watch and observe and you're present with me wherever I would go, to heaven, to Sheol, to the othermost parts of the sea, or lying down or walking by the way, all of my paths. If you're there and you're this kind of God, that great and all-knowing and present everywhere, then, Lord, I want you to search me, O God. Lord, know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And Lord, here's what I need you to do for me. And see if there are any grievous, idolatrous, wicked way in me. And I want to be led in the way everlasting. I want to be led in your ways. I want my life to correspond to your greatness, to your character, to who you are. I want to be in tune and in right with you. Lord, lead me and correct me. And Lord, search me deep and do whatever you have to do to lead me in the way everlasting. This kind of knowledge of God is not just head knowledge. It is a head knowledge, but it's transforming. It propels the heart to want to love and honor and obey this God and be led in His ways, not our ways. So the providence of God in a teaching like this in Psalm 139, the outworking of our days that have already been formed and destined for us, it's transforming when the heart sees this God that is so intimately acquainted and involved in all of our ways. And it should deliver us from worry, from fear, from unbelief, from complaining. We should be led in this teaching in a life of growing and trusting the Lord, realizing His cultivating a sense of His presence. Your nearness is my good. My realization by faith of Your presence is my good now and forever. And then this also, if He's planned our days, it involves that He plans when we'll have our last day. Our death is in the special, gracious providence of God. In Job 14, 15, since His days, man's days in general, are determined, the number of his months is with You. You have appointed His limits so that He cannot pass. We learned a week or so ago that God is the one who not only created the sea, but He also determined the limit of the waves of the water, and the water, the limits. God also determines the limits of one's life. But God's special providence and grace towards His people, precious, Psalm 116, 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. When we know that God not only planned out all of our days, but was the one who orchestrated the details of our conception, our birth, all the days of our lives, our conversion in Jesus Christ, the revelation of His Son, and then ordained the good works that we should walk in, and then we, all of us, have limited days in this life set by God. All of these days are filled and rooted in God's eternal purpose. We're a people delivered from futility. We're delivered from meaninglessness. We're delivered from boredom and discontent because our lives are filled with Him. But one of the great fears that most people have is when and how they're going to die. Death is a great enemy. The Bible says it's a great enemy. We can be delivered from fear and worry and discontent and boredom and futility in this life, but in Christ, we can be delivered from a dread of death. You know how? Christ told John on the island of Patmos. He was there undergoing persecution, the church, fiery persecution. He told the Apostle John, "Fear not. Don't fear. Dear saints, today, let those words of Scripture echo into your soul today. Don't fear. Don't fear. Jesus said, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys." He has the keys, the authority of death and Hades. He has all authority over death. He has the keys of death and Hades. And He's the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in Him, even though they die physically, they will live because of Him, because He is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? As He asked Mary or Martha in John 11. These teachings should lead our hearts to rest in God, the Lord over life and death, the Lord over our days, the Lord over all the moments of our lives. I love that hymn that some of you are familiar with. A phrase of this in another way was in one of the songs we sang. Robert Murray McShane, a dear saint of the past, wrote a hymn called "When This Passing World Is Done." When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, listen to this, looking over life's finished story. Then, Lord, shall I fully know. Not till then, how much I owe. Right now, we can't comprehend all the millions of things in God's intricate work of providence, like the movie over a million pictures, but we just see certain things. But there's so much else going on. The invisible hand of God's providence. And we won't fully know how much we owe until we are with the Lord looking over life's finished story. That will be when we stand before the throne dressed in beauty not our own. When I see Thee as that Thou art, love Thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. And the fact that I was chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. And listen to this plea of Robert Shore McMain. Lord, what I want You to do now in my life, while I'm in the... teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. May God have mercy upon us in the hearing of His Word this morning. May this stimulate your heart to study more, to pursue the Lord more, in learning all you can from the Scriptures about His sovereign, special, or gracious providence toward us, His people. And in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at how the practical fruit of this. And I'm just laying this out today, but we have a lot more to cover. We are going to be looking at providence and evil, providence and prayer, and many other aspects of this from the Scriptures. But I love this teaching on God's special providence toward us. I hope the Lord blesses you with this. I hope this will be for your joy, your nourishment, your growth, our good, our stability, a deepening hope and confidence in Him. I hope anyone here that struggles with worry and fear and issues of when you'll, whatever it may be, this can give a little relief and comfort in your life today, even as you approach whatever's on your plate for this week coming up that you have. Let's pray in closing. And then we're going to sing about God's great faithfulness. Let's pray to close. Oh God, our Father, words fail. We come to an end of just language in expressing how glorious and wonderful these things are. But Lord, I pray You would be our teacher. Lord, even perhaps lead Your people to go back over Psalm 139 and dig in more, make it a meditation for a few weeks. Slowing down, meditating, pondering these things, and trusting You to wash and cleanse and purge and form and shape our hearts with who You are and what You're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. We're so thankful. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing about the great faithfulness of God this morning.